Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When the people that put the lectionary together, when they meet and do it, they try to put some kind of a theme on the readings. And the theme, of course, today, you read about Eldad and Medad, and we read about this special prophet that came along that they tried to stop. You think that the theme is that whenever there's a word from the Lord, we should try not to hinder it, even if it doesn't go through the process that we think is appropriate. But that would be an awfully short sermon. So I'm going to make it a little longer by talking about what the verses didn't say. There were several verses that were excised out of the Numbers pericope, so I want to put those back in, and I'll tell you about it. This story that we read today from the wilderness journey was about the people of Israel. Now, you remember the story of the people of Israel? They were slaves for hundreds of years. And God raised up the special prophet Moses, and they were miraculously brought out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They conquered the Egyptian army by getting away from them. And here they were, a free people. They got into the wilderness. They knew nothing about taking care of themselves. And God provided bread from heaven called manna. Now, manna actually means, what is it? But it sounds much better when we say manna. But that's what they labeled it. They looked at it and said, what is it? And, oh, it's manna. What is it? And every day they could walk out of their tents and get food. They didn't have to hunt for it. They didn't have to search for it. It was right there in front of them. They found water in the desert, and so water would gush out of a rock, and they were able to feed their families. They were able to get water. And when they were wondering about where to go next, God led them, they said, with a cloud at night and a pillar of fire. It was a wonderful way to get. They didn't need GPS. They didn't need a map. God sent them every which way, and they had one person over them named Moses. And Moses was a charismatic leader, and he spoke the words of God, and they knew he was trustworthy. So here's a group of people who have all their needs taken care of. But, you know, it got a little stale after a while and a little boring. And as we listen to the story today, it said, the rabble among them had a strong craving. Well, who were the rabble? The rabble were the people, the hangers-on. They were not Israelites, but they thought they would join the journey. And so they were called the rabble. There was classism even way back then. But they had a strong craving, and I guess the word got out to the Israelites, and they said, yeah, we don't like this manna anymore. There's only so many ways to cook manna. And it was getting boring, so they stood at their tents. Now, can you imagine this? Adults, everyone at their tents crying and saying, we've got to have better food. If only we were back in Egypt. We had fish, and we had garlic and leeks and onions and cucumbers, and it was all for free. Now, it wasn't free. Those people earn that food with their blood, sweat, and tears. The only reason they were being fed was to give them strength enough to build cities and to do the bidding of their overlords. That was not freedom. But you know, when you want something badly enough, you rewrite history. And you look back on history and you color it so beautifully, don't you? Oh, that was a good time. Yeah, we might have had a few problems, slavery, but no, it was great. We could eat. Sometimes our wants color our perceptions. And so they had lost all perspective. It's easy to do, isn't it? To lose perspective. to forget what is miracle. When I woke up this morning, there was breath in my body. That's a miracle. When I look out on the beauty of this world, that's a miracle. When I think of the grace of God that helps me each and every day, that's a miracle. When I think of the people who love me in spite of myself, that's a miracle. We have so many needs that are met each and every day that we hardly think about because our wants overshadow them. We have to retain our perspective of the miracle and the grace of Almighty God. And then there's Moses. Now, Moses was a man of privilege. When he was born, the Egyptians were drowning male babies in the sea, and he was rescued. That's a miracle. He was allowed to grow up in an Egyptian palace. He had the best of everything. While his people were suffering, he was living in privilege. That was a miracle. He was educated. He was well-spoken, even though he protested to God that he wasn't. And then God gave him this incredible privilege of leading a whole nation. And every time God spoke, Moses was given the privilege of hearing the voice of God. Nobody else had that privilege. And there were times that Moses understood that, and he talked to God and then speak to the people. But there's also responsibility with the privilege, and he didn't like that, especially when the people were complaining to him and saying, Moses, you're doing wrong by us. So he turns and complains to God and said, I didn't give birth to these people. You want me to carry them around like a nurse carries a baby? And I've had it with them. Why don't you just kill me now? I love that, you know, and of course God ignored it. And what God said was, call the elders together. I'm going to give them my words to speak so that the burden will be shared. And so he called all the elders together. Now, what's not written here is Moses also told, God told Moses, I'm going to give the people what they want. And they're going to have so much meat that they are going to be sick of it. And Moses says to God, well, how is that going to happen? How many hunting parties do we have to send out? There's a lot of people here. And God says to Moses, who are you talking to? I'm God. I can do that. I've got this. Well, then they have the big congregation. They go to the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting is the place that was the sacred place. It would be like going to church. And all these elders came to the church area, and they started to prophesy as God's spirit laid on them. And they were speaking the words of God, except for two people. Eldad and Medad didn't get the memo that they had to go to the sacred place. So they were still in the camp, and God's spirit fell on them. And then this young man, Joshua, was not pleased. He had lost perspective because he was looking at the chain of command. And the chain of command was Moses, then Joshua, and then these people who were at the proper place in the tent of meeting. But then you have these two renegades who are speaking God's word, and they weren't in the tent. So Moses put a stop to that. And Moses said, I don't think so. And we have that same story in the New Testament, where John says to Jesus, there was somebody who was doing great works in your name. We put a stop to them. And Jesus said, don't do that. And there's another lesson here. The word of God can come in many ways from many people. But because of our own prejudices, we cannot hear. will I hear a word from God from someone of a different political stripe? Because I know that that person voted for this one or that one. They can't possibly give me any wisdom. Or perhaps they're in a different socioeconomic group. And because I'm supposed to be the one helping them, how can they have a word for me? And we miss the words of God because of our own prejudices. We have to remember that God's word is not fettered or bound by any politics, by any point of view, by anything. And we've got to have ears tuned to when God speaks. And it's not only here in this sacred place, it can be out in the workforce. It can be in our daily interactions. We have to be attuned to it. Now there's a cautionary tale in here, and the lectionary folks decided to excise those scripture verses, and I think because it's pretty gruesome. Because the end of the story is that quail came and covered the camp. And the quail were, I guess, so tired out from flapping their wings that the people of Israel got to kill a lot of these quail. And they got to roast them and eat them, so God kept his promise. They had meat. But there must have been a foodborne illness in the quail. And at the end of the chapter, it says a lot of people died from eating that. Sometimes the things that we want, the things that we crave, the things that we desire so much are destructive. God gave them exactly what they wanted, but it wasn't what they needed. We need to think about that next time we come and say, Lord, what about? I don't have, I need, I want. Is it really necessary? I've been sharing with my son every single day he calls me. You know, he got a job, and every day he calls me after work. And he regales me with all the pitfalls of working full-time, of his dopey boss, of what's going on with customers. And I laugh from the time he gets in the car till the time he gets home and we hang up. And I've told him this, and this is not something because I am so wise, but because I've lived long enough. I said, Robert, God puts you in positions that you might not understand at the time, with people that might aggravate the life out of you, but God puts you there for a reason, and you learn from everyone that you come in contact with. And may we leave this place knowing that God has provided everything we needed, that perhaps our wants are not the best for us, and that there is wisdom to be found in every circumstance. God speaks through, and may we have ears to hear. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you give to your children what we need. And I ask that you would help us to listen to your voice this week in every circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and turn with me to hymn number 790, Guide Me, O My Great Redeemer.